This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Are we on the air officially?
Yes, sir. We are officially on the air.
Well,
yes.
We were just talking about business, and we got sidetracked a little bit, and all of a sudden, it's time to start. And I am Joe Martech, and this is the Team Martech Show, minus the team, because, you know, people think, because there's a hurricane coming, this is a major thing, so they get to take off an extra day.
Mm.
And then Pastor Dave, he was putting up storm shutters today, he's putting up storm shutters after this. You know, you're starting to look tired.
That's why I told you if I fall asleep during the show, forgive me.
Hey, well, I'm used to Alan falling asleep, but, you know, you have to wake him up every once in a while. But I do have our team members, and by the way, for those of you that have not heard the show before, remember this, you should listen to this show because it's a font of information. We started doing radio shows roughly in 2004, and the concept is very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a securities principal, a stockbroker, multiple licenses. Lots of clients here and in 13 other states because people move, etc. But in my not too humble opinion, if you are a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your clients. So the first two people that I became aligned with, and I'm saying we don't share commissions, we don't share offices, we don't do anything, but I feel very comfortable that I can trust these people to help my clients, and they do the right thing for people. One was Greg Fasula, attorney, who, by the way, was on our morning show, WPSL 1590 AM, every Wednesday at 11 AM. Not that I'm plugging that, but I'm telling you, listen to that one too. That'd be good. Anyway, and Greg Fasula, attorney, and the reason for that is wills and trusts are a monster subject, and a lot of people don't realize what can happen if you don't have such a thing, and or what can happen if what you have is not an acceptable vehicle, because every state has different laws, and you might have a will or a trust that was drawn up in, say, New York or Connecticut or who knows where, and that may be valid in Florida, but it may not. It may need some tweaking. So Greg was the very first person that I've known him for over 20 years, and he's probably one of the very, very few attorneys that I know personally that I absolutely like him as a person. He's a good man. He's a good person. He's a giver. He's not a taker. He's not pretentious. He's not arrogant. He's not expensive. I mean, the guy's just a flat good guy. He helps people. In our system, with our group, we're monster believers in what goes around comes around. We really, really try to do the right thing and try to help people. So Greg was one of the first ones, and the second one was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. And that was a critical one also, because those of you that have lived in Florida since 1992 when Hurricane Andrew hit realize that Andrew put, I think, 13 insurance companies out of business, could be 10, could be 15. Now, quite honestly, the companies that were admitted to do business in the state of Florida, admitted means they've been registered with the state and accepted, the state becomes their partner, and they're there to back up these companies in case of a failure. So people didn't get hurt that had an admitted company. But what did happen after 92 was a lot of companies said all of a sudden, we're going to non-renew you. You could have been with a captive company for 20 years, and they said, okay, fine, leave, goodbye, we don't want you anymore. Sometimes they doubled or tripled the premiums. And if you are working for with one insurance company, if you're the agent, you don't work for the client, you work for the insurance company because you don't have any other outlet. But the independent works for the client. And if you're Dan, which I consider the premier agent on the Treasure Coast, he has under his umbrella roughly 100 companies, and he has a monster book of business. You don't get to do that quickly. He's almost 40 years in business. And what he's done to help people, and I mean everybody in this room, he's helped. Mm-hmm. You know, Alan, he saved you, he saved me. Everybody I know that once they've talked to Dan, and on a rare occasion, Dan would tell you he can't help people, but he says, hey, when your renewal comes, don't forget me, because just because I can't today, I might be able to in the future. And we've had multiple people call in and just absolutely praise Dan.
One of the things that sets Dan apart is many times an insurance agent will go to a company and say, can I become affiliated with you? And the company makes the decision. Well, in Dan's case, he's had a number of examples where the company came to him asking that his agency take them on because of his reputation.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Dan has that reputation, and that's a very difficult one to acquire. Like Alan was saying, when you're a new agent, you're out interviewing companies trying to get them to work with you. But when you're Dan, they come to Dan, and Dan interviews companies and makes sure that they fit, that they can take care of a portion of his clientele. So that was the first three. Then, over a period of time, taxes became a monster problem. Vince Rosino, CPA, not only a CPA, but a forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness recognized by the court system. And I probably talk to Vince once every week or two. It amazes me that after all these years of being alive and in business, that you keep hearing a new thing every once in a while that you don't know the answer to. And even Vince would say, the tax code's only 70,000 pages. Of course, I expect him to memorize it, you know. But he obviously hasn't and can't, because as soon as he knows something, they change it.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. I suspect that almost every day there's a new change in the tax code.
He gets constant changes in the tax code. It's a constant thing. But hey, here becomes the problems, and we're going to go into that one in a few minutes, because we had a phone call today earlier from a lady that was almost a tax question, even though she didn't know it was. It was after we got talking about it. Then we also added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, a realtor that's only been in the real estate business since 1978, who happens to be the hardest working person I know alive. And whatever she tells you, you can take to the bank. This girl does not have a phony bone in her body. Sometimes people get a little upset because she'll tell them the truth, right? Bam, like that, you know, which a lot of people don't always want to hear that. But she's going to tell you the truth about what's going on. And she's been rated as one of the top 100 REMAX agents in the entire world. I mean, she's wow. She's hot stuff. Hard worker. Mike Polis, mortgage broker. Boy, oh boy, back into the debacle of this real estate recession. Mortgage money was, we listened to the radio and the TV, and it'd say there's no mortgage money available. Well, that was never true. What happened is the old rules came back, which was you have to prove you can afford it. Can you imagine what a concept that is?
Amazing.
I mean, just amazing. Can you actually make the payment? Yes, I can. Okay, sign here. Well, wait a minute. Now you got to prove it. You just can't sign here and get it. So the new system is you have to prove it. But there have always been no money down mortgages for the VA, for the USDA program. There's always been 5%, 3% downs, first-time home buyers programs. There's all kinds of programs that have been available. And one of the things that happens with Mike, and the reason that I wanted somebody like that to help people, if you walk into your local bank and apply for a mortgage, it might take them 2 weeks or a month to say yes or no. Mike will tell you in 15 minutes, and you know where you stand, what you can and cannot do. And that makes a month, you know, it's nothing like going out and looking for a house and you think you want a $500,000 house and all you can afford is a $300,000 house. So with Mike, you kind of work backwards to figure out what a payment you can afford, and he can tell you that pretty much in 15 minutes. So now you put that together with a realtor, and they say, hey, I've been approved to this kind of mortgage so I can get this kind of house. Boy, sellers like that a whole bunch. Realtors like that a whole bunch. And it makes, I mean, I've seen many, many people go out and make offers on houses and they put a contingency in there, like on financing. And the seller comes, another person comes along that doesn't have a contingency called financing. Well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to take the one that doesn't have the contingency. So that mortgage money is a very important one. All right, folks, important phone number coming. 1-888-221-8990. Now, this is toll free from any place. Write this down. It should be next to your phone. 1-888-221-8990. If you're driving your car, don't write it down. 888-221-8990. Now, if you don't want to talk on the radio, you might be busy getting ready for this hurricane. Just remember that number. You can call the station anytime. Pastor Tom, Pastor Dave, Karen will take your name and number and have us call you back, and we'll help you any way we can. 1-888-221-8990. So we're going to talk a little bit about a legal situation that came up today. Greg Fasula, attorney, and Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, special guest member. We were on the show today earlier, and a lady called in about adding her child or children to the deed on her house and said, what was my opinion and Greg's? Well, my opinion was pretty clear. No, don't do that. Why? Well, your homestead, once it's a homestead, you live in your homestead, and that's the rule. You have to live in it. If you get sued because of a car accident and you lose, let's say you've got car insurance worth $50,000, but you get sued for $1 million and the insurance company pays the $50,000. You now have a judgment against you for $950,000. That's exciting, you know, and you're 65 or 70 years old. It's called, odds are not too good you're ever going to get that paid before you die. Well, your house cannot be taken away from you if it's a homestead. It's exempt from attachment by creditors. But if you add a child to that deed who does not live in the house, it might be up in New York or New Jersey, and they get sued, that house can be gone, can be taken away from you. And I literally have seen it happen to people. So number one, you don't add a child to your house. And I normally tell people, do not put a child on your bank account, CDs, brokerage accounts, anything. You can put a document in there, which is called a transfer on death document, which says, doesn't have to go through probate. You die, automatically that bank account, that brokerage account can go to that child. So I often suggest to people, if you're not sure if you have such a thing, next time you go in your bank, say, hey, do you have a TOD agreement on my checking, savings, CDs, whatever's here? A lot of times banks will do it. Sometimes they don't, but it's always smart to know. But you don't want to add your kids to these accounts for fear that they get sued or something happens, it can be taken away. Even though you know that they wouldn't steal from you, the bottom line is something could happen. And there's another little wrinkle that comes in when it comes to a house or a bank or rest of that stuff. It's called a divorce. I mean, this could be one of the greatest couples in the whole world, but when they get divorced, they may not be that great anymore. You know, and then wrinkles come up. How often, Pastor Dave, do you counsel people, families, all of a sudden when families are falling apart because of a divorce? I mean,
there's been a lot over the years.
It's a very sad thing to watch.
Yeah, it is.
But all of a sudden, a very sweet, lovely couple becomes vicious. You know, these things happen. So you as a parent need to protect these things for yourself so that all of a sudden you're not the one underneath the bridge abutment living under the bridge. Little minor thing. Anyway, that's one. Two, there's another scenario. If you buy a piece of real estate and it's your homestead and you deed it to your child and you die and they want to sell it, very often the cost basis, let's say you paid $100,000 and now it's worth $300,000, that child has to sell it and they have a $200,000 gain that might be subject to tax. But on the other hand, if you had a homestead and you left it in a will or a trust to your children, you didn't put their name on it, they sell it for $300,000, there is no gain because it steps up to the value on the date of your death. So does brokerage accounts step up to the value of the date of your death. So you listen, if you get a what I'm going to call credible professional advising you, I'm going to reach around and pat myself on the back a little bit here. After many, 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 many years of doing this, these are not often things that you learn when you first become a professional, quote, but over a period of time, you learn these things, and oftentimes the hard way. So what I'm trying to say is if you have questions on these things, you call the radio station anytime. You can call today. I'd be glad to talk to you about them, but there are certain ways that you can help protect yourself and protect your family from unforeseen problems. And that's the unforeseen problems. Disasters happen and accidents happen. All kinds of things can get in the way of peace and tranquility. So what we try to do, or what our group tries to do, is protect our clients and protect you, the listener, and your families from unforeseen things. I had another situation, and Alan, jump in if I skipped anything on that.
The only thing I was going to say is one other point that her name was Sue, brought up this morning on the call, was the fact that she had her property insured by an insurance company for over 20 years, and then the roof of her barn blew off.
In a different state.
In a different state.
Yeah.
And
not
the insurance company, after 20 years of loyalty, immediately canceled her.
And that was out of state. And then that was in Florida. Her insurance company wouldn't write her again because of a claim out of state. And I said, I'd never heard of that. And then Dan Warren, who wasn't on the show, but he called in and he said, he doesn't know what the rules are for every company, but it's not a company he would deal with, because that makes no sense.
It just shows you, if you can get a good policy at a good price, don't stay with an insurance company just because of loyalty, quote unquote.
There is no loyalty anymore. It used to be years ago, but people would say that. Every once in a while, I hear a commercial for a company that says, once you're with us, we'll never cancel you, but we might charge you 10 times as much money. They don't say that.
They don't say that.
That's de facto cancellation.
Yeah. Same thing. Same thing. Then we got an attorney here. De facto. You don't hear that every day.
Well, I have to show that, in fact, I earned my law degree.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. I think we pretty much covered that beginning questions that came up. I know that she called back two or three times wanting to get clarity, but
one other question that came up, and we can talk about it briefly, is one person called up and asked if they can get insurance on their home, flood insurance, and at this point you can't.
Well, and what you can get is flood insurance, but it's not going to be good for 30 days. I mean, the only way you can get flood insurance to be bound the same day is if you buy a house and you go to closing. Now, right now, with the hurricane as close as it is, most lenders are not too excited about doing closings right now. They may want to postpone them until after this hurricane comes through, because insurance companies, this is a nervous, nervous Nelly time. Rightly so. We've got a monster coming, those of us that have lived in Florida for a long time and lived through hurricanes, we don't look forward to them at all. We just hope this thing peters out a bit before it hits, because if it comes in like Andrew did as a 5, that's total devastation. And
well, as you said, part of your working in the profession that you do and the other team members is to help people. If I can just help people for a moment, the Turnpike is already getting bollocks up, even in this area around Stewart and Port St. Lucie. And I went and got gas at a 7-Eleven station on the corner of US 1 and Goldenrod at 2 o'clock this afternoon. There were 14 cars on the station parking lot getting gas when I was there. And I asked the attendant, when did he get his last gas delivery? He said 11 o'clock this morning. I said, how long is that going to last you, a day or two? And he said, oh, no. He said, at this current pace, we'll be out of gas by 7 o'clock tonight. Mm-hmm. So my advice is get batteries, get gas, this afternoon if you can.
I was out driving from Fort Pierce down, and I went through, I got a half a tank of gas in the car. I said, I'll top it off, which is what everybody's doing. I went through three stations, all closed. I mean, the stations were open, but there was no more gas. And literally most right now today, you're pushing the envelope if you can find one that still does have gas, which you mentioned one up in Port St. Lucie, but not, there's not a whole bunch that do. Because, hey, it's like water. I was in Walmart up in Fort Pierce before we did the station this morning, and there was 20 people standing waiting for a shipment of water to come in. Mm. The shelves were empty, waiting for bottled water. Well, okay. You know, this is what happens during the course of these things. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. All right, Alan, any other words of wisdom?
Well, let's talk about what can be done as far as, let's say the hurricane is a bad one.
Right.
And say phone lines and things are down like this. Let's say you need money. And when things get back up, you've got an IRA or a 401k. It's my understanding that let's take a call first.
We'll take the call first and then we'll see. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. Brian Worthy over at Worthy Financial. How are you today?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Good. I wanted to reach out and say thanks for the show. You do a good job getting information out there. But more importantly, I've missed your show recently, but we've been praying for your son. I was just wondering if you could give us an update.
Thank you so much, Brian. That's good. My son made a recovery. He's gone through rehab. He probably won't be back to what we consider close to normal for another 6 months or so. But, Brian, that was, thank you so much. And I begged for prayers when it was a crisis, and he weathered the storm, and I thank God every day for that. And I thank you, Brian, for bringing that up. Thank you so much.
Yep. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye. That was very nice. Very nice. You know, very nice. Thank you. Anyway, where were we?
As I was saying, Joe, let's say you need money.
Yep.
And I know one of the things we both agree on is, if you're under 59 and a half, don't even think, if possible, of withdrawing money from a 401k IRA.
Now hold still.
But here's my question, and it's my understanding that if you withdraw money from a 401k or an IRA and you replenish it within 60 days, there's no penalty. Is that correct?
There's no penalty, no tax, no nothing. Now, but it gets better. Very often, 401ks allow you to borrow from, and you don't have to pay it back within 60 days. You do have to pay it back over within an agreed period of time, but it could be a year.
And who do you agree with? Who is the...
If you have a 401k, your employer has the program as the sponsor.
Oh, so you go to your employer and make that agreement then?
Well, no. The 401k has a charter, and it also has the agreements in there for borrowing money. So the employer sponsored it. But let's say it's held by Fidelity or whoever. Okay. They have the rules, and they simply say, okay, here's the rule. You can borrow $5,000 out of this, but you got to pay it back at 4% interest, so much a month, or however the rules are. And now there's no tax, no penalty. If you just take money out and don't, even if you did borrow it, as long as you pay it back within 60 days, whether it's an IRA or 401k, you've avoided tax and penalty. But on certain circumstances, you can borrow. So the rule is you can borrow against 401ks very often. I've never heard of an IRA you can borrow against, but I have heard of 401ks you can borrow against.
But you can remove money from an IRA and pay it back within 60 days.
Within 60 days, and no penalty, no tax.
And that's just a standard IRA. A Roth, is a Roth different? Let me ask you that.
Yeah, what happens with a Roth, let's just talk about an IRA for a minute. An IRA is an individual retirement account. It's not much different than a 401k. It simply means I put money into this, and it's a tax deduction. I don't pay money on the money I put in. Whether it's your employer, or whether it's you personally with this account, whether it's a 401k or an IRA, the rules are pretty much the same. Money goes in, you don't pay tax on it. Then the government says, after age 59 and one half, you can start taking money out without a penalty, but you're subject to tax at whatever your tax rate is at that time. Okay, now a Roth IRA, you put money in, but you've already paid tax on it. So let's say this year I put $6,000 into my Roth IRA, and I pay tax on that $6,000. And 10 years from now, I take the money out, and it's up to $20,000 or $30,000. Pick any number. 100% of that is tax-free. So the whole concept of the Roth, it allows you to take money out tax-free, but there are other rules. You're supposed to hold it for 5 years before you take money out. So you can't put it in today and take it out tomorrow without a penalty. The government, the whole concept is that you're supposed to be saving it for retirement, whether it's a Roth or a traditional. With a traditional, the age is 59 and a half. With a Roth, the rule is you have to hold it for 5 years plus being 59 and a half to take it out. Anyway, it's just little wrinkles that are put in there. Which one is better? And it really depends on the individual. Sometimes people have both. And what I look at somebody when it comes to talking about either a Roth or a traditional is, tell me what's going to happen to you when you're retired. Are you going to be wealthy? Or are you going to be like most people? You worked a job and you now have some savings and you have Social Security, but you're not working anymore, so your income goes down. So now you take money out, you may not have a taxable consequence at all. You may not. I mean, I have clients that are retired, husband and wife, put over $50,000 a year in their pocket, and they pay no tax. So there's all kinds of little things when it comes into a CPA or an accountant and or a financial advisor. We try to work forward and do the best we can to make sure you end up where you want to go. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. And Karen brought in a letter or a writing. You know, she's got really pretty writing.
She does.
That's very good.
Any writing you can read.
Yeah, and that too.
Yeah.
Lady called. She has homeowner's insurance. How would she file a claim if there's damage from the storm? And separate from that, now here comes a word that I can't figure. Will an insurance company cover the cost solar panels as an improvement to her home? The answer is probably. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not the insurance agent. Dan is. But the way you file a claim is you normally call your insurance agent. And the insurance agent will either send out an adjuster or give you the phone number for an adjuster or something to get it done. If you never had an agent, let's say you bought it online or something like that, you call the company online or email them and they will give you a link to get to an adjuster that will come out and physically look at what your claim is and say, is it covered? But I would assume, and I'm not 100% on this, but I'm 98, that solar panels are a part of your home and that's a loss. And if those solar panels got damaged, that's part of your coverage. You have wind coverage, which would be the hurricane coverage. Then you have other forms of coverage in your homeowner's insurance.
You might have to check and see if your company requires an endorsement for coverage of solar panels.
And they might. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I don't have any.
You don't have any.
So I didn't ask that question. But literally almost everything like that can be covered. But if you have such a thing, it always pays to let your insurance company know that you have such a thing. And if what Pastor Dave is saying, it's not covered, you can add an endorsement to the policy to cover such a thing. Because some people have $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of solar panels on their house.
That's right.
That's a big chunk of change.
It really is important to work with somebody who knows what they're doing. And Dan Warren, a very credible insurance agent. As a matter of fact, going back to the call this morning from Sue, Sue mentioned that the reason she was canceled was because the insurance company up in the northern state where her barn roof blew off said that a tornado was not covered because it wasn't an act of God, but a hurricane was an act of God.
I mean, and first of all, that makes no sense whatsoever.
It doesn't.
I was wondering if there was an interpretation there that didn't make any sense. Okay, so Karen came in again. You got very pretty writing, Karen.
Thank you.
Except for this word here. I had a problem with that one. I know, but you didn't dot your I and it looked like three L's. So, but that's okay. Will an insurance company pay for solar panels?
In same general, not having anything to do with the storm.
And I don't know.
Okay.
Now, they don't pay to install them.
Well, that's what she's asking.
Oh, no. Wouldn't that be a gift? Hey, I want to put solar panels on. Karen, will you pay for them? No. Will the insurance company? No, not in advance. They may pay for them in a claim. But they won't pay to install, and they may pay to install them. And part of the claim, like if you say, hey, I put $20,000 worth of solar panels on my house and they all got destroyed, that's what they cost.
A separate issue, but it's not like getting a loan from the bank.
No. Insurance companies won't give you a loan.
No.
What a concept.
there is, for my earlier years, I did spend some time in insurance in the beginning of my career path, if you will. And with a major insurance company as an adjuster, and then I left and went with the State Insurance Commission for a season. And there I really learned some stuff. But of what I learned, and as we're speaking about this very issue of solar panels or other things,
right.
Why I said it's important to talk to your agent about coverage. Sometimes people will do things making the assumption that the insurance would cover it, because it's part of the house,
right.
Like solar panels,
right.
Or
right.
Ham radio antenna, you know, guys that attach, whatever, is do not assume anything.
Exactly.
Go to your agent and say, look, I want to do this. How can we cover it?
Well, it's just like, hey, I bought my house for $200,000. I get it insured for $200,000, but I just put a brand new kitchen in it worth $25,000. So you should cover my brand new kitchen, right? Not necessarily. If you want... Literally what happens is most homeowners policies, now the word most is operative, have what they call replacement value. Replacement value. What's it going to cost to replace what you've got in that house? Well, if you're all custom stuff, you best make sure your agent knows that you've got these gold fixtures and all kinds of stuff in there, because it may not be covered under a blanket. They need to know. And hey, they're there to work with you to make sure that you don't have surprises. So I don't care which agent it is. You know, there's nobody out there. I once in a while find out people think you're trying to take advantage of them. And I said, hey, listen, every agent out there, they're working on a commission. Whatever you pay, they get a commission. Their job is to try to make sure you're happy and make sure that you're down the road, if you have a problem, that you're taken care of. At least that you understand what your coverages are not. 1-888-221-8990. Anyway, I think we covered that. And when Bulldog called today, I don't know if he had a question, but I don't think he did. He was up in the hinterlands and waiting for the storm to come up and take advantage of his new house.
No, Bulldog, I think, called just to wish us well and to pray for us.
Yep.
And he's not too worried. He's up between Tallahassee and Jacksonville, right?
Well, no, he's on the East Coast.
Oh, he is on the coast.
Yeah, he's on the East Coast, just below Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
So, hey, this storm looks like it's going to head up north regardless. And hopefully it doesn't stay on. Well, hey, hopefully it doesn't do damage, period. That's right. Just it, no matter where it goes.
But just go out in the middle of the Atlantic and die there. It'd be
please,
fine.
Wouldn't we be happy?
Oh,
wouldn't we be happy? 1-888-221-8990.
You know, one of the things, Joe, about money and finance and things like that is that man cannot predict and control things. I mean, with all that's going on, the fact that there is controversy almost every day with the Trump administration, there's anxiety in the country, there's Hurricane Harvey, there's Hurricane Irma, there's North Korea, yet the stock market just keeps chugging along, and there really is no explanation for it, except I have one, and it's the historic one, that the market anticipates months in advance, where the market seems to have an internal fortune teller crystal ball that human beings don't. And the only thing I can imagine from the kind of performance we're getting from Wall Street is that things are going to look better in this country down the road. The tax situation, the economy, maybe growing at 3.5%, 4% next year. If that happens, then stock prices maybe at this point are getting slightly ahead of themselves, but the valuations that we're seeing now may be warranted next year if that happens. And of course, the opposite can also happen.
Where Alan was going with, we use what's called a price to earnings ratio. Earnings being one part of the ratio and the price for a share of a stock another one. Now, normally if that ratio is 10 to 1 or less, that's considered bargain time. If all of a sudden that ratio starts to get closer to 20, that's considered, oh boy, we might have something that's overpriced. Now, on the other hand, there are some of these ratios that are 30 and 40, and these companies are massively growth companies. They take off like a rocket and they keep growing. So like Alan was saying, the value of these stocks are based on not what they're worth today. They're based on what they hope or think they'll be worth at least 6 months, but usually about a year in advance is what they're doing. So right today, in my not too humble opinion, the stock market is full. And by most estimations, anybody that follows it knows it's full. Now, there's bargains out there. There's always bargains. But there's, if we just take the overall S&P 500, 500 of America's biggest companies, or the total NASDAQ, the Dow, the ratio is about 20, which is about twice what I'd like to see it as. When we've had major calamities in the past, that ratio sometimes was somewhere between 25 and 30 when all of a sudden the bust occurred and the whole house of cards crumbled and we had a major, major reassessment of everything. Now, how important is that? Well, if I have a young person that's say 20 or 30 or 40, you've got 20 or 30 or 40 years to go when you're trying to save money for retirement, let's say. So quite often some of these rules are not as critical is when all of a sudden you're 60, 70, 80. Like I had a fellow come in the office a few months ago, and he said, last year I was worth $1.4 million. Now I'm only worth $1 million. My broker had me invested in stuff, and I went down $400,000. And I said, well, what'd your broker say? And he says, well, give me some time, and I'll make it back for you. And he says, I'm 80. How much time do you think I've got? Well, if he was 40, he probably would basically take in the basic rule of the S&P 500, of 500 of America's blue chips, which have averaged around 8 or 10% a year for a long, long time. There was years that was up 20, 25% during the Clinton administration. Then there was years that was down 30 and 40%. But the key thing, normally when a person doesn't get younger, they get more conservative. And we start looking at finding things that are more conservative. Why are people sitting in the bank making 0.5% or 0.25% or 1%? Because they're scared. You know, the old Will Rogers thing, that's, now only old people know who Will Rogers is, but he used to say, it's more important that I get my money back than what I make on my money. Well, because if you invest it and you lose it, there's so much for that. So security is a big subject. So very often when I talk to older people today, and they want to be conservative, I say, hey, I'm explaining what I'm explaining. Yes, we can be in the market. Yes, you have to go in with your eyes wide open. Do I think we're going to go in for a bust? No. Could we? Of course. What are our variables? Oh, boy. North Korea, politics, you name it. There's always things that can get in the way to throw a monkey wrench in this thing. So if I say, hey, look, if you want to take risk, there's no problem with that. You know, take risk. That's your decision.
There's one gigantic parallel between the Depression of the 30s and the Great Recession that I think is a danger sign, and we're not there. But I want to tell you what the parallel is. Back in the 20s, late 20s, before the crash, people could buy stocks putting up as little as 10% of the value of the stocks. And so a person that put $10,000 in the market could control $100,000 worth of stock. But then when the market crashed, they got called and said, okay, we want your money. And if that 100,000 was down to 50,000 in value and they only had 10,000 in, they owed $40,000. And that's part of the reason why Wall Street crashed at that point, because of easy credit. Now, in the Great Recession, what was the problem there? It was the easy ability to buy homes when you didn't even have to prove your income.
Right. When you have circumstances that just don't make sense, that then creates a false economy. You can still buy on margin today, you know that.
But the rule is 50% now.
So the rules have changed a bit, but margin means it gets very complicated, but basically you're borrowing money from the person that the broker dealer that's buying the stock. Now you have to be substantial and have to have all kinds of stuff. There's rules, but still you're not putting up all the money. Now, who does that? Usually pretty sophisticated investors. Normally, if you're not a sophisticated investor, you'll never get approved for that margin account. So it's a little bit of a complicated venue. But I guess where Alan was going was, when we have an extremely strong market, which we have today, as long as the economy keeps doing good, this can keep going on. And this has been going on for a good long run now. And I hope it keeps on going. We all hope it keeps on going. But what I oftentimes talk to people about when it comes to being a little more conservative are debt instruments. Debt instruments are not common stock, and they're paying around 5% and 6% interest. And if you're a conservative investor, these are things you need to learn about. So what I try to do is just open up some avenues for people to learn. There's another one that I kind of like today. These are real estate investment trusts, especially the ones that are in mortgages, because interest rates are extremely low and these companies are having 10% dividends. And these are timely. Everything I like is also liquid, meaning you can get it today and sell it tomorrow. But you have to learn first. My job is to educate people before they make a decision. So normally I will be with people sometimes 2 and 3 times before we make a decision. On the other hand, there are some people that know what they're doing. They know what they want. I've got a local client here. He's very substantial, gave me a ton of money, and he wants to get that 5% and 6% interest, but he wants to know that if he needs to touch that money whenever he wants, he can do it. Okay.
Joe, I think you and I would agree that when things start getting out of whack as far as letting people buy things at easier terms,
yep,
and it gets excessive, like a few years ago, very few car dealers would go out on an auto loan more than 48 months.
Yep.
Now some of them are 7 years, yep, 84 yep. months.
Well, look at the price of cars now. All of a sudden, you're $75,000. I mean, I had the first 5 years I was working, I didn't make $75,000 cumulatively, maybe 10 years. It's a long time. But I'm saying the rules have changed, and they are talking about a bubble in the automobile industry. But in the meantime, used cars have gone up in value tremendously. And the cars are better car today. Cars lasting 100,000 miles when we were kids was rare. Today, it's the norm.
Yeah.
You know, even 200,000 miles is not considered out of the ordinary. So the rules change, life changes, nothing really stays the same. What we try to do with our group is educate people on the things that we can, and so helping people make a good decision. And the things that happened again today with a phone call about adding kids to a house, that was an easy one that we've lived through. We know that's a mistake. Adding kids to your bank accounts, you know, it's not like if you have a checking account with only $2,000 or $3,000 in it and you add your child on it just so they can pay your bills for you. I'm not concerned about that. But if all of a sudden you've got $100,000 in a bank and you add a child to that name and that child gets sued, that $100,000 could be gone. So this is not what you call normal operating stuff. So you just have to be careful. Remember the TOD agreement. Talk to your bank, your brokerage account, transfer on death. If you have an annuity contract, there's beneficiaries. If you have an IRA, I've never seen one that did not have beneficiaries named. You would have to work to not have named beneficiaries because a child can inherit your IRA and it becomes their IRA and there's no tax. They may have to take distributions depending on the rules, but as long as it's a child or a spouse, they inherit it on your death and there's no tax. So we have these named beneficiaries. If you don't name a beneficiary and it goes to an estate, bam, taxes are paid right now. So almost always, it's a rare occurrence that somebody neglects to put beneficiaries down or allows somebody not to put a beneficiary. In fact, I've had people say, my ex-husband died and he has kids and I don't like those kids, but I don't have any kids, but I have this IRA. I don't want them to get the money when I die. And I said, who do you want it to go to? So I don't know. Okay, let's assume you drop dead today, right now. Who gets the money? Well, let's put the kids down. And that's probably the right thing to do. You can change your mind whenever you're, as long as you're alive, with beneficiaries or transfer on death documents. But I often want to say, okay, fine. Remember this. Let's do it as of right now. What would you want to have happen if it was now? And now comes the right thing to do.
In a situation like that, though, let's say that you haven't made a decision of which people you'd like your assets to go to when you die.
Right.
An alternative might be a favorite charity of yours.
No kidding.
You can always change that and put the children's name or whosoever name you want.
Or you can divvy it up.
Or you can
say half
it
of
up.
It goes to Pastor Dave.
Wouldn't turn that down. No.
What I'm trying to say is, oftentimes people leave money to a church or a charitable organization. Mm-hmm. Could leave it. WCNO has had some bequests, I'm sure. And all these things are good when they're a charitable organization. There's no tax to them, so that's not as important. But very often people say, hey, I don't have anybody, any person, but this church has been very, very active in my life. And that's a good thing to do, is mm-hmm. leave money to a charity or any charitable organization. Could be the Salvation Army. And right now, let's face it, the Salvation Army is going to, they've been extremely busy in Texas and Louisiana.
Yes,
definitely. They're going to be extremely busy in Florida here, I think, within the next few days. I hope not, but I think they will. So we'll see what happens. 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Anybody's got questions? That's what our group is for. Even though they're not all here, you can call that number anytime. Pastor Dave, Karen, Pastor Tom will take your name and number, and we will get back to you and try to help you. And if, by the way, somehow or other, it falls through the cracks and we don't get back to you right away, don't feel bad about calling again, because sometimes the phone numbers are written down incorrectly. Sometimes they get lost. I mean, you know, none of us, the last time I walked on water, it was frozen. So yeah, mistakes can't be made.
Uh-huh, yeah. We do get calls after hours here, and it's this voicemail.
Right.
They can leave make sure they enunciate properly,
right,
their name and the phone number to call them, and then someone will reach them.
Yeah, not all phones have caller ID on them where you can automatically check them out. You know, when you have voicemail, especially on a commercial type of thing, they may often not have that. And I've had numerous ones. I've had to listen to the message 6 and 7 times trying to get it and still got it wrong because people didn't enunciate or didn't right. repeat it a couple of times. I had one recently, a daughter called for her mother, and I must have listened to it 6 times before I could almost figure out who it was, and I never did. I ended up calling the daughter, and I had no clue who I was calling for, and she finally told me, and I could understand it.
Yeah.
You know, but it happens. So sure. Understand that mistakes can be made, and oftentimes if we don't get back to you and you leave a call, because I had a fellow this week that I've been trying to help now for a couple months, and I kept calling him back with an answer, and I had the wrong number. And finally, he called me on my cell phone number, which I tell people, hey, if you don't know it, you know, the show will give you my cell phone number. That phone works all the time, as long as it's on. And it's on most of the time. So I don't mind people calling me on the cell phone ever. 1-888-221-8990. Any words of wisdom here?
Well, I just want to talk a moment about asking questions of professionals. A lot of times you go see somebody, and most people like you, like Vince, like Greg, We'll talk to you first consultation free of charge. But you're intimidated. You don't really know how to ask a question, or you think, oh, maybe this question is too elementary or it makes me look silly. That's not the point. The point is asking questions come from good people that help you. And as a matter of fact, I had an attorney friend in Milwaukee who offered free consultations. And his first question when you sat down in the office to everybody was, why are you here? And what he got was a story then, rather than a nervous question or I don't really know why I'm here.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the story, and then he was able to hone in on that story by asking pertinent questions of the person. And he wound up being the questioner, and they got right to the method.
That's what it takes. Yeah. Let's take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon. I was listening to your show and been having a situation, and it seemed like you may be able to answer this. I have a elderly mother who was recently put into a nursing home due to not being able to care for herself.
Right.
I've got a sibling who seems to has taken over the situation, and there's a lot of money involved because my mother had to sell her house. I was trying to get involved in this, and I'm being shut out, and my sister has acknowledged to me that my mother is unable to care for her finances. So, is there any protection for me that my sister is not going to be able to wipe her out?
Well, here comes a question. Does your sister have power of attorney for your mom?
No, it's split. My sister has power over my mother's health, and I'm the executor of the will.
Okay.
There is no power of attorney.
Now, that's a shame because most and I'm just throw this out. In that attorney that did the will, if the first thing I would do is call him up and say, did you do a power of attorney that maybe you don't have? Maybe you are in it. Maybe you and your sister are joint powers of attorney. So even though you may not have seen it, I mean, normally, now I say this normally, what I consider a responsibility from an attorney when he drafts a will, normally they would do a power of attorney. They might do a health care surrogate. They might do a living will, which says unplug me if I'm going to die, whatever. So normally those documents become part of the system. So first thing I would do is call the attorney that drafted it and say, did you do a power of attorney? And if the answer is yes,
all right.
Find
I don't
out.
Know who did it.
Have you seen a copy of it?
No.
Okay, but you know you're
this is just verbal from my mother that I'm the executor of the will. So okay. I know there's a will, but I don't know what's in the will or
okay, yeah, and you have no idea where
attorney or anything.
You have no idea where the will is either, right?
Right.
Which
and
is
then like I said, my sister has admitted that my mother is not in her right mind, is unable to make these decisions, and I know she's making them for her.
Okay. Is your sister, as far as you know, doing it with a good heart?
No.
Okay. Next question is this. You and your sister are not on good terms?
Correct.
Okay.
Because when my mother moved out of her house, my sister cleaned it out and took everything to her house and said, oh, I'm just storing it, which means even if something happens to my mother, it's not like I can go inside of her house and...
Okay, now here this comes. This is a confrontation, but I'm not positive how you can handle this. One of the things that happens is, face to face, said mom said I am executor of her will. Where is the will? And if your sister says I don't know, where are her doc said I am executor of her will. Where is the will stuff? And in safekeeping. Who knows where that is? You say, let me go through the stuff that's in safekeeping to find it, to make sure that we're doing everything that's right and appropriate for mom and legal. The next question,
my concern is now is if she can get my mother to take me out of the will, because she has a lot of influence with my mother, and if she's stating, and I know for a fact that my mother's not in her right mind. How can I find out if they did even change the
will? Well, let me give you this. An attorney has a responsibility if he drafts a will, to make sure the person that is doing it is competent. If the person is not competent, that attorney has a responsibility not to draft a will, because the word has to be competency. That person has to be competent to do the will. So very often, and Alan is sitting here, who's a retired prosecuting attorney, but I have seen two people come in and mom's going to do the will, and the person sitting next to mom keeps answering all the questions and mom doesn't, and right. The attorney says, no, you can't answer for her. She has to answer these questions. And if mom can't, he is not going to draft or change that will. So back again, a little bit of research on how you can find out who this attorney was. Oftentimes, whoever did the closing on the house might also have been an attorney, and it could have been the same one, which how can you find that? It's a deed. It's a recorded deed at the courthouse, and it would tell you who did it. Okay. If you can't get your sister to cooperate with you, you've got to do a little bit of research the hard way. Wills are not recorded, so there's no way you can find that out. But if, just by pure chance, an attorney did the closing on your mom's house, whether she bought it or sold it, very often that might be the same person that drafted the will. So you can do a little bit of research.
Okay, that's good information.
Good luck, my man.
All right, thank you much for your time, sir. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, bye.
This call just shows how people can get into trouble when they don't have good relationships with family members, yep, and with a team of members, financial members, yep, CPAs, attorneys. That's why having a solid foundation, not only in your family is important, but a solid foundation in all the things that matter in life,
yep,
your life experiences.
What we try to do as a group is put the cart and the horse in a proper order and do all kinds of things. Just a little thing. I was down with a couple last week, and they're not married, but they're living together, and they're good people. They're going to get married. He has $500,000 in a savings account. She's on that account. He's got high liability limits on his automobile insurance. She has extremely low liability limits on her automobile insurance. And I said, you know, you have a $10,000 liability limit. You get sued for $100,000. That insurance company says, here's the 10, and they walk away. That $100,000 judgment could take away your spouse's or your intended's money. So you need to make sure you protect it with a high enough limit.
Joe, we have about 20 seconds left. Let's just pray for everybody and ask God to watch over all of us, and everybody be safe and be smart in this. Don't try and do things that are going to hurt you.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I think we're done, Dave.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centurion Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.